Episode 170.
Get outside your business and look at it from a 30,000 foot view. I will do this with clients often where they're just kind of stuck in the mud, so to speak, the day to day. And if you get outside your business and wherever that is for you, go there, whether it's down by the lake or into the mountains, or maybe you like to people watch at the mall, wherever it needs to be for you, to where you can find a peaceful place, not so peaceful that you fall asleep or something like that, but relaxing enough to where you can really think about what's important, and it will help you get perspective on, you know, setting priorities in your business and being able to tackle things a lot faster and more efficiently.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to On Point from Remarkable Results Radio, and a special interview from an auto care industry professional.
It's On Point.
Hello, aftermarketers throughout North America and around the world. Carm Capriato here, and thank you for listening to Remarkable Results Radio, available on great subscription services like Apple iTunes, Google Play Music, Spreaker, Otto Radio, and Stitcher Radio. And welcome to episode 170 with Jude Larson. This episode is brought to you by Federal-Mogul Motor Parts. They are the reason you enjoy these interviews twice per week. When you need innovation and quality, you need Federal-Mogul Motor Parts. With brands like Moog, Felpro, Wagner Brake, Champion, Seal Power, FP Diesel, and more, they're the parts techs trust. Find out more at fmmotorparts.com. I'm so proud of the guests we've had on and want to publicly thank them for being so open, honest, and sharing with their success stories. With all this great audio perfectly archived on the internet, we can always use more listeners. So can you do me a favor? Share this episode with a friend. Don't keep it a secret. You know, one day you may be on the show and you'll want every aftermarket peer to listen to your story. And thanks. Now meet Jude Larson, president, owner, and lead consultant for JML Real Solutions. He's a frequent speaker and trainer at industry events. Jude has a vast business experience, including being a highly successful service advisor, the owner and operator of a hybrid online and printing marketing company, a top performer in the financial industry, and he also had a record-setting career in retail management. Jude uses his rich experience in business success as he consults, trains, and coaches results-focused solutions with aftermarket clients. A recent trainer at Apex 2016, Jude and I discuss some real great key topics. Among them, becoming a legendary or sought-after employer in your town where top technicians want to come to work. We also talked about how building a comprehensive hiring system improves the quality of your hires and why company culture is so precious. He says you got to build it and protect it. And among others, why it is so important to look at your business from a 30,000-foot view. The show notes at remarkableresults.biz/E170 also include a reading list that Jude Larson recommends. Now, here we go. Nice to be with Jude Larson from JML Real Solutions. Hey, Jude, are you ready to go on point?
I'm ready.
All right. Hey, look it. You're speaking in late October, early November at the ASA Regional Training at Apex 2016.
That is correct.
What's your subject?
My subject is how to hire like a boss.
Whoa. Now, that's a loaded topic.
Yeah, it's a topic that I think is near and dear to the hearts of just about every business owner. I've never met one that it isn't near to the heart of. It's how our businesses run is the people. I mean, unless you're a one-man, you know, band or something like that, then you need to have good people.
Now, I don't want you to do the seminar. I just don't want you to, you know, I didn't interview you here just to do the seminar. But
sure,
the highest point that's going to be received from that seminar?
Well, I don't want to reveal too much, but I'll give you this much, all right? Because okay. I don't want people to sit there and go, oh, we already heard this on the...
No secrets. Well, you know what? I guess I could make sure your podcast doesn't make the air until after Apex.
I'll be okay with whatever you want to do, Carm. I trust you.
Okay.
So the number one thing that I would say is, you know, of course, the elephant in the room is the technician shortage. I mean, everybody's talking about it. It's, you know, it's not an elephant we're ignoring. It's people are panicking. And, you know, how do you deal with that? Well, I do know of shops and have clients who do not have that issue. And there is something significantly different about their shop than the rest of the shops on planet Earth, if you will. And that difference is they have become a shop that is sought after. They have risen to a level of professionalism and name in the industry. And if you don't have to be a shop necessarily that is known nationwide or, you know, setting legendary records or anything like that. You just have to be legendary in your town and the area that you're in. And if you do that, you will actually have technicians and top quality people knocking on your door, asking, you know, literally standing in line to say, hey, do you have an opening? You know, is there, you know, would you consider me, kind of thing? And you're always going to get the best of the best of the best from that. I mean, there's just nothing that can compete with that.
So you want people to want you, and you want to have that reputation?
Oh, absolutely. It's, I mean, that's just what sales is, right? You want somebody to come to you asking for something rather than you having to go knock on their door and interrupt them in the middle of dinner and try to convince them of something. You'd much rather they come to you and say, I have this problem and I heard you're the person who can solve it. So that works the same in hiring. It's way better if they come to you and say, wow, I've heard good things about your shop. Every employee that you have here says nothing but praises. I've heard of you in the area, and I am really good at what I do, and here's why I think you should hire me.
All right. So someone comes in the door, and I really like them, and you know, my gut's telling me that this may be good, but how do you match that right person, their personality, their knowledge, to the job you have?
I can't recommend enough using assessments. There's tons of them out there. And they go anywhere from simple 5-minute ones that, you know, I'll do in some of my classes just for, you know, we'll do these fun little 5-minute assessments, like what personality type are you, that kind of thing. That's better than doing nothing. There are ones that go all the way to the other end of the spectrum, which are, kind of designed from, like corporate America, when they're bringing in a C-suite person in corporate America, they will literally spend, you know, $10,000. They'll even have psychologists go through and do things with these, because it's a huge investment, right? And luckily, you know, we in the automotive industry don't necessarily have to make that kind of an investment, but there are some companies that have developed some that work very similar to that, but the cost is a fraction. It's, you know, a few hundred bucks as opposed to, you know, $10,000 for a hiring process. So, but those match personality. Those don't just match, like, they match the position to the person, finding out what their long-term interests are. Because, you know, you can have a person who's really good at what they do, but if they don't enjoy it, they're just not going to be proficient at it long-term.
Everything you're saying, is this what Hire Like a Boss is really about?
This is pieces of it, yeah.
Okay. Now, if I'm going to be a service writer, I raise my hand. I'm going to be a service writer, but I don't have the personality, the drive, the communication skills for it. What you're saying is do an assessment so you don't make a mistake. The person's got to have leanings toward being a people person.
The assessments aren't just to determine whether or not the person would be good at the job immediately. It can also give you help in the area of, could they be homegrown, so to speak, raised up into a good candidate for the position. So it's going to give me areas where they're going to have success in all these areas, but over here, they're going to struggle. And so those are the areas that we need to focus on. And honestly, Carm, it helps me out a ton as a trainer when I'm working with somebody like that. It's almost a little bit like cheating, it feels like sometimes, because I can go straight to the problem. Rather than having to spend days or weeks trying to figure out what it is, I have the information right up front.
It's not cheating. It's really, I mean, it's a wise use of money and time, right?
Absolutely.
Think about the sales process. When you're talking to for example, a dominant individual and you're an extrovert, you've got to have the dominance discussion, not your discussion. Yeah. And in so many, you know, and that's the DISC assessment as an example. And I'm not sure which assessments that you use. Do you bring the assessments to your client, or do you ask them to go out and just take them and then you get the results?
I have some that I use that I prefer, that I'm you know, very good with. And I, you know, of course, I'm going to be biased because sure. I think they're okay. The best. I've done a lot of research, but the mm-hmm. company that I'm partnered with, I have access to pretty much everything. There's some specific ones that I use It's just because they, and in my experience, are the most powerful, the most bang for the buck, if you will. I love disc. I love, there's a lot of great stuff out there like that. But the ones that I use are a little more pinpointed to matching a person to the position specifically.
I believe you would agree that being a top tech is real hard work. Keeping up is a full-time gig, considering vehicle technology, repair procedures, and diagnostics. It's refreshing to know that Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Guru is there for you. It's been designed by and for technicians, the best in the industry. And did you know there's no other comprehensive program like this anywhere? A big part of the program is the nationwide network of Guru's on-site training and technology centers. There, you can get your hands dirty with the equipment and tools you use every day in real work-related situations. When online is your perfect way to learn, do it with Guru's 24/7 online academy with a huge catalog of training course options. And with the Guru's on-the-go technology fleet, they bring the latest products and demos right to your shop. And this year, you get free stuff from the Garage Rewards loyalty program. You earn points towards gear from your favorite Federal Mogul Motor Parts' brands. And what is really great, it costs nothing to join, and you'll start earning points immediately. So head on over to fmgarageGurus.com and learn all about Garage Guru's training, support, and get in on the rewards. So tell me your greatest story of matching the person to the job.
Oh, I love these stories. I got lots of them. I'll give you one that's a great one. As a technician, this individual was he scored very, very high into the status of what I would consider, you know, rock star level. And there was one area though that he was out, and the area that he was out was in energy level. And we were looking at this candidate as a potential for a drivability technician. And as any shop owner knows, the number one thing you need a drivability technician to do is to produce hours. If they can't produce hours, it's not going to work well. So the area that he was out was in his energy level, which tells me that he's going to be a more slow moving individual. Now, there's nothing wrong with that personally, just it doesn't match the position well. So what happened was the owner, who will not hire anybody without, you know, doing one of these assessments. He's a full on believer at this point, because of this instance and several others. So when he offered him the position, the guy was a rock star. I mean, we're talking like a huge match. Just this one area he was out, but it was way out, and it's a very big area. So when he offered him the position, he offered him a very, very low salary and very high incentive based. Compensation on the other side.
Did he see that in the assessment? Is that why he chose that strategy? Okay.
Yeah. He saw it in the assessment. He looked at the energy level, and we discussed it. He looked at the energy level and he said, this guy is too low. He may not produce well. So that was the concern we had looking at the assessment. So when he made the offer, he offered to the gentleman, you know, low salary, high, performance-based pay. The guy looked at the offer and said, so if I only produce this many hours, I'm only going to make this much money. And the owners was thinking to himself, yeah, and I'm going to go broke if that's, you know, what happens here. So then he didn't take the job. He didn't take the offer, even though if he had been able to produce the hours that you would normally expect a top-notch drivability technician to be able to do, he would have made plenty of money. It was a generous offer. He wouldn't take it. So that told us that he had not, I call it building a bridge, where you're over here and you need to be over here, and how do you get from there to there? He had not built it, and he had no intention of building it. So he was probably going to go into the position, work hard for a little while, and then slow back down to his normal pace.
Great story. So that's, you probably tell that all the time to help justify the reason for doing this. And listen, I'm a fan of them. I've taken a bunch. I've been involved in that corporate stuff before, mm-hmm. and I've hired people with assessments. So I get it. I agree with you. Now, is it hard to build a hiring system? Do you have to have the tab A into slot B? Do you have to do it perfect every time?
No. Systems in and of themselves are kind of living, breathing entities, if you will. If you're doing it right, you're not going to be stuck on any one specific thing. A system is designed to make that part of the business run fluidly with as little interruption and, you know, breakdown as possible. So if something goes wrong, in my opinion, you should immediately be able to adjust that system to correct for whatever has failed and make up for it. So when you're building a hiring system, and it, honestly, it's a thing that a lot of people haven't thought about. We have a lot of systems inside of our business that make sense and that we, you know, follow, like a, you know, this is our phone etiquette, answering process or system, our customer greeting, our check-in procedure, all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to hiring, not a lot of people actually have thought through that process. They've just kind of done it the way that everybody's always done it. You know, I know a guy, or, give me a resume, fill out an application. We'll have a conversation. If they're a little more sophisticated, they might even do the whole, you know, round table where they get all the employees involved in the hiring process or in the interview process, that sort of thing. But most people don't, most businesses don't have an actual system. So you start at the beginning. You figure out, here's where we are. Here's what we do. Here's where we want to be, which is we want to produce top quality, you know, rock star employees in all these positions. So then you just start to work from one end or the other. And in some cases, you'll be going from this direction, you'll get stuck. Well, you can start back over here and work back the other direction so that you're kind of meeting the middle. But it's not really a difficult thing. It just requires time. And of course, that can be the number one challenge of any business owner, is to find the time to put into putting something like this together.
Jude, how many shop owners today that were techs that had to move from working in their business to on their business are so good at HR that they can put a hiring system together?
That is a very low number in my experience.
I kind of thought so. So are you doing a lot of this? Are you, as a consultant, right, and trainer, are you doing a lot of this?
It's probably one of the top things that I do when I work with clients. I do a lot of different things, but definitely getting good people in, you know, in the right places is on the top of the list, because if I can dare, I wouldn't say this anywhere else, but I'll reveal it to you here, Carm, on Remarkable Results Radio. If you hire the right person, you may not even need a trainer for them. So if you hire the right person, basically I could end up unemployed, is what I'm telling you, because the right people will do the job and will grow almost on their own. But then the question is, well, how do you find that person, right? And that gets back to the whole system and the process. And not everybody is that way. So you're not going to find, you know, every single guy that you find or every single gal you find is not going to qualify in that way. But when you find somebody who is just top-notch way out there, you may not even need me after that. You may be able to set them loose and let them.
All right. You know what? You got my mind spinning. So how many times do you hire the right person? I mean, is that like 1%? They walk in the door?
Well, the odds of hiring a top performer in any position, just doing it old school, is about 16%.
So what you're saying is, with a good system, and say you have to go through 20 candidates, then out of those 20 candidates, you're going to be able to find the right candidate. But if you don't have a good system and have the assessments in there, your chances of hiring wrong are high.
Very high. Very high. And by using the system, by using the right assessments and all that, you can actually increase your odds of finding a top performing employee to close to 90%, about 87% if you want to be precise.
What I hear you saying is that the hiring process is so important, and we all know this. If you hire wrong, you're screwing with your culture.
Yeah, big time.
And is that, you know, when you sit down with a client, do you start with culture and you work up toward it? I mean, is it at the pinnacle that what you're looking to continue to bridge, to improve, to create?
Oh, absolutely. Company culture is a precious thing, and you've got to protect it. You've got to build it. In a lot of cases, some of the clients I work with, we go in and their company culture is kind of a mess. It's people are kind of everywhere and disbanded, and there's some of the griping back and forth between employees going on, that sort of thing. And so we can spend a fair amount of time over a course of months or what have you, building that company culture. And then, yeah, you're right. Once you've made all that effort to build that, because it doesn't happen just on its own, you have to actually make it happen, either by getting the right people, by, the owner, emphasizing it, putting the energy into it to build it. And once you've done that, even one person who is the absolute wrong person can just throw a wrench into that whole thing, and that whole culture can come collapsing down.
So your system and the assessments are going to minimize the risk to ruining a culture.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And you just mentioned, a little bit ago about the hiring system to hire right. How about to fire right, or to fire to fire quick?
That is an often even more so overlooked piece of the whole thing. And I haven't met anybody yet who enjoys that part of the process. I've had some people who have asked me, hey, can I pay you a little extra? Will you do it for me, kind of thing? And, it's like, well, sure. I mean, I can do that now, but what about the next time something like that happens? You need to, the whole teach a man to fish versus give him a fish kind of philosophy. Mm-hmm. And, so, yeah, I mean, that's all part of the process is, there needs to be an exit interview. You need to be having, these conversations and making sure, what are your liabilities? What's your exposure if a person just walks out one day? Do they have a key to the building? Do they know security access codes? Can they, get into your computer network? And, there's all sorts of exposure that you have. And if you haven't pre-thought of this and it just happens on a Tuesday afternoon, they walk out the door in a huff, you're really exposed. I mean, you're really liable. So it's definitely a good thing to way outside of the conflict to have that all planned out.
But it's no different than a process or a system inside the shop to bring in a customer to
yep.
solve a problem. You've got yep. to have that. Well, listen, with HR laws and HR risks today, you're right. Got to have a great exit process in place. Now, do you help customers put them together?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. We build them and help them put it, because it's not, there is no cookie cutter. I mean, I could pass out like a basic outline, but it's not going to be specific. It needs to be specific to your business and to each business, because there's just so many different, variables and factors involved that each system for each business needs to be custom designed.
You've always counted on Moog to keep you ahead of the pack when it comes to chassis innovation. Well, they've done it again. Most recently launched is the Moog ball joint with a pre-installed integral dust boot. It's designed exclusively for compression-loaded suspension systems, providing superior strength and durability for these types of vehicle applications. The dust boot is made from higher strength materials and comes pre-installed, saving you time because it's easier to install. It also has a larger contact area against the stud, which makes a more effective seal. For your customers, the unit uses Moog's powdered metal gusher bearing that provides longer life and controlled radial and axial movement. You get the industry's leading coverage of 10,000 SKUs, including 4,600 for foreign applications. Hey, you've been installing Moog confidently for years, and now you know why. I mentioned a little earlier, I said how you can be the sought-after business where people want to come to you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you become a sought-after business?
That is a great question. A sought-after business is, it's a really big deal. And it's something that I've been preaching since my beginning in the consulting side of this industry. It starts with, are you a business that is doing the fundamentals? Are you profitable? Are you able to, pay for your employees to go to training? I mean, we're talking about the basic stuff here. Are you advanced in technology? Do you have all the right equipment? Are you setting up your employees for success? Because if you're sending them out there and all they have is a broken socket wrench, and no other tools, and like, well, there's some cars, go fix them, they're not going to have success. It's going to be a struggle. But if you're sending them out there with, you know, the latest and greatest diagnostic training and tools and the you know, the overall, you know, community of the shop and the employees, and you've built all of that to a place where it's just people love working there. You get good reviews all the time. Not that you're not going to occasionally get a bad one. I mean, there's people out there that do that, but really you just got to start with the fundamentals and work your way up. And, you know, if your business is not producing, what, you know, an article was recently released that compared all of the shops across the country that, you know, that were polled and, you know, where their numbers lie and what the percentages are and all that kind of thing. And it's really interesting to look at, you know, where are the shops at? Where are they at number wise? What are they producing? You know, cause you hear, you know, like hours per repair order is the number that's thrown around. There's lots of, you know, KPIs that are used, key performance indicators that, you know, people monitor and watch and track and try to figure out, you know, how is my business doing? And it's interesting when you compare, you know, over the nation, like where is everybody at? And so one of the things that I look at a lot to judge whether or not a company is being successful or is hitting their mark is hours per repair order. That tells me a lot of information about the business, about how thorough they're being, about how well they're taking care of their customers. Because if they're like, you know, 1 hour per repair, 1.5, 1.8, something like that, they're probably moving through too fast. They're not being thorough. Because typically cars will give you, you know, anywhere from 3 to 4 hours per repair order if you're thoroughly maintaining, thoroughly repairing, thoroughly, you know, inspecting, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, that's just one of the many areas that you can look at. And if a shop is doing that well, then they're going to be serving their customers well. Their customers are going to be happy because their cars aren't going to be breaking down as often, you know, because you want to just eliminate that as much as possible. I mean, it's still going to happen occasionally, but.
You know, you're talking about a public reputation, but I also believe you're talking about an industry reputation.
Yeah.
Among shop owners and among techs that are out there, if someone was looking, they would ask around. They wouldn't ask the public. They would ask their peers.
Yeah.
And their peers would, go over to Joe's. I mean, they're right. Just a great place. So you're talking about helping to build your public and personal reputation.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not just what your reviews say online, although potential candidates will look at that. I mean, if every review on there is just tearing you to shreds and they're thinking, I don't want to work in an environment like that. But it is that. It's in the community. Are you well respected? Are you well known? Are you involved in community events? Do you give back? You know, all of those types of things. So that because, you know, you're right, they will go to a friend who works at a certain shop and they'll ask them, hey, is there any openings there? And there may not be, but they may say, well, who else do you know? And they're going to say, well, you know, the other place in town that I know that's really good is, like you said, Joe's across town. They do a great job. You should go talk to, you know, the owner over there and see what they've got going on. So it's not just hitting, you know, the KPIs and having a successful, you know, business financially speaking, but it's also building a reputation or a name for yourself in your local community. In some cases, this isn't necessarily required, but in some cases, you'll actually have businesses that'll go above and beyond and they'll get a national reputation, which if you're able to achieve that level, good on you. I mean, that's huge because you can then pull, you're using your name and your reputation, you can pull from the whole, you know, country if you need to get the best of the best of the best working for you.
And I've heard of some of that going on. Hey, look, yeah. Folk, as a consultant and trainer, Jude, what do you focus on?
I focus on mainly hiring, getting the right people in the right places. I focus on business systems because without them, you're just kind of shooting fish, and, you know, you're just randomly shooting into a barrel every day and seeing what happens. So those are probably the number two, the top two things that I focus on the most. Mm-hmm. There's also, of course, you know, advisor training and all those things, making sure that the how to's, all that kind of stuff. If they don't have that in place, you can certainly work on that and do that type of training.
What's your background?
I have kind of a mutt background, if you will. I'm a mix of a whole bunch of stuff. I started out in retail many, many years ago. Seems like a different life even. Had a very successful career in that. I prided myself actually on the fact that I was able, I feel a little bit bad about it at this point, but I was able to actually go to my boss. I don't even think I was 20 years old yet. And I was able to go to my boss. I'd had so much success in the department that I ran and say, hey, listen, I want to either work Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, or I'm going to quit. And at that point, I had never heard of anybody working retail who could work 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. And he begrudgingly said, okay, and let me work that position. So that's when I had figured out that I had done something significant for them and basically held them hostage.
They didn't want to lose you.
Yeah, they didn't. Eventually, they did, obviously. But I've also spent a number of years in the financial industry doing investments and insurance and mortgages and that kind of stuff. And then went into the automotive industry as a service advisor, worked that for a number of years, had a lot of success there, and then went back into the financial industry for a while and then came into the consulting side of things.
What was the day or the time the light bulb went off and said, I've got to do this consulting and training?
You know, that's a really interesting story, because when I first started into the consulting side of things, I was working with a business partner at the time. He was kind of the front runner, and I was kind of the more of the background guy. What happened was, actually, some of the fine folks over at ASA Northwest, where I'm a member of, one of them in particular over there, kind of the gatekeeper, she said to me, Judy, we want you to teach a class. And I said, well, okay, well, I can set up so we can come in. She said, no, you don't understand. We want you to teach it. And I said, well, why? Because, you know, my business partner does a great job we want you to do it. So you put together a class and you teach it. And so, cause I've always been kind of I've enjoyed being a behind the scenes guy. It doesn't often work out for me like that in life. But when I can do it, it's kind of a little bit of a treat or vacation where I can just kind of do some behind the scenes work. So I was enjoying being in that place. So long story short, I put together a class and went and taught this class, and it was the first time that I had done some short presentations and some things like that, but I did this class. It was a 3-hour class on leadership, and the whole room there was probably 50 or 60 people in the room at one of the retreats, and the whole room just responded in such a way that I was shocked. People who had never even made eye contact with me were walking up to me almost teary-eyed, you know, shaking my hand and thanking me and telling me goals they were going to set. And many of them even followed up with me afterwards and told me that they had reached those goals they had done. So that to me was kind of the turning point when I realized, wow, there's really something to this. And in fact, just going after the how-tos, how to sell to 3.5 hours per repair or that kind of thing, it's not enough. Because when you go into, you know, a business and you make these changes, if an owner or an employee isn't ready on the inside, if you will, if they don't have the capacity internally to handle that level of success, they will render it back down to the lowest common denominator that they're comfortable with. And so what I learned through that seminar and other things that I've done since then is that you have to work on the people to raise them up. And then the other training kind of just comes in almost naturally. So that's kind of where it really turned for me. And I realized that this is kind of a big deal, and that I can help people doing this.
Great story. Jude, what's the future of training?
That, Carm, is an excellent question. The future of training is really different than what we're looking at right now, in my opinion. First of all, it's going to have to be highly technologically advanced, meaning training is available anywhere and everywhere. The most effective that I've ever experienced is one-on-one live person training, but that's also the most expensive, because you have to actually, you know, pay to get a body in a room. So as we move more and more technology, you know, towards the future, you know, people are going to be doing training probably on their smartphones. You know, they'll be looking at their phone with an earbud in or whatever and going through training classes. I mean, even the assessments we were talking about earlier, you can take them on your phone. They're specifically designed to do that because that's where everybody's hanging out. Something like 50% of job searchers have looked for jobs on their phone. You know, so it's kind of a big deal if you don't know. I think there's going to be a lot of other facets, in that a lot of the training that's out there now, while it's good training, it's old, it's outdated. It kind of reminds me of guys who are still just wanting to work on carburetors. They're getting harder and harder to find and less needed for, you know, to have the work done on them. So a lot of the training out there is kind of going off of the way the business was run, you know, 10, 20, you know, years ago. And it's just not the same. People are different. We've got a different, you know, group of consumers coming in, you know, millennials. People are talking a lot about millennials. What do you do with the millennials? You know, how do you talk to millennials? All that kind of thing. You know, so as those needs change, as the interactions change, as the expectations change, we have to change the way we do things. We can't just stay the way that it was, you know, 20 years ago, still doing the same old, that we did to their parents. You know, the same way we interacted with their parents is not going to work with the way we're going to interact with them. So training is going to have to adapt just like everything else. It's going to, you know, and on the course on the technician side, it's getting very, very sophisticated, very, very complicated. Businesses are going to be left behind that don't keep up with that learning curve. You've got to be able to, you know, have your technicians in the top end training, using the top end equipment, because soon, you know, you're not going to be able to keep up if you don't.
Jude, recommend a book that our listeners should read.
Just one? I've got a nice long list.
Well, how about you send me that list and I'll post it in the show notes page.
Sure.
But give me one.
Yeah. One right now. There's so many. One that I use with teams a lot is Leadership and Self-Deception. That is a fantastic culture building book. How do you shift the culture of your company to a really, you know, strong and positive environment. But one that I just read it for the second time last week, that is, it's a just me kind of a book, like just focusing on yourself and where you're at. It's called Extreme Ownership. Actually, Greg Buckley, give a shout out to Greg. He's the one that turned me on to that. We were joking around on Facebook one day and I got the book and read it with, like, in, you know, a couple of days and was just blown away. I mean, I read a lot. I highly recommend reading, but that book is extraordinary. And I've already begun giving it to lots of leaders and clients and people that I work with.
Yeah. It's been recommended by so many of our podcast guests and
okay.
Great. Jude, it's been great to have you on. Jude Larson from JML Real Solutions. Give us some final words to live by.
Some final words to live by would be get outside your business and look at it from a 30,000-foot view. I will do this with clients often where they're just kind of stuck in the mud, so to speak, the day-to-day. And if you get outside your business and wherever that is for you, go there, whether it's down by the lake or into the mountains, or maybe you like to people watch at the mall, wherever it needs to be for you, to where you can find a peaceful place, not so peaceful that you fall asleep or something like that, but relaxing enough to where you can really think about what's important, and it will help you get perspective on, you know, setting priorities in your business and being able to tackle things a lot faster and more efficiently.
Great, great words. Appreciate it. Thanks for being on.
Thank you.
Hey, aftermarketers, thanks for joining Jude Larson and myself. For additional information on Jude and his recommended reading list, go to remarkableresults.biz/E170. It's always good to hear from you. So any questions or comments, email me at carm@remarkableresults.biz or head on over to the contact page on the website. You know, you are an important reason I bring you these interviews, so you can profit from the answers found in each episode. And thanks. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.